From the horse capital of the world, the great city of Lexington, Kentucky, welcome to Red Barn Radio. Wherever in the world you're listening, join us as we celebrate the music and artists of Kentucky. Tonight, Red Barn Radio presents a concert performance with Jim Gleason and Scott Whitten. Coming up on Red Barn Radio.
Get up in the morning, my feet stick to the floor. Forgot to buy some coffee while I was at the store. Found the morning paper, floating in the rain. I'm trying to dodge the bats and things buzzing in my brain. But I can still remember all the things I learned at school, with sister always telling us to live the golden rule. Yeah, yeah, times is hard and life is so demanding. That's when I find I tell myself, be the last fish standing. I washed my hair with cream rinse, made sure to do it twice. And now my head's a fuzzball, looking extra nice. I broke my other shoelace, the dog chewed up my hat. Another day in paradise and a crummy one at that. I need to find the gumption to get me through the day. Consider the alternatives, there is no other way. I should have seen it coming, my misery's expanding. Time to go remind myself, be the last fish standing. Pip, pip, hoist the Jolly Raj. Don't start the engine, close the door, relax in the garage. I'll be good tomorrow, and you won't hear me whine. Cause I'll be on the upward slope, and that'll do just fine. A seeming contradiction, or just the way you feel. Don't turn onto the off ramp, and let go of the wheel. Things to do tomorrow, the fun is never ending. Better go remind yourself, be the last fish standing. Be the last fish standing. Be the last fish standing.
Red Barn Radio is brought to you with the financial support of Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. Planning to visit Lexington or just looking for more information, Visit Lex is on the web at visitlex.com. We're more than just bluegrass. LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. We'd like to thank Sims Pizzeria and Soda Fountain for supplying food each week for our musical guests and volunteers. Chef Greg Scott and Sims Pizzeria and Ice Cream Parlor is located just minutes from Lexington in historic Wilmore, Kentucky. For more information, see Sims Pizzeria and Soda Fountain on Facebook. The Twisted Cork, Lexington's only drive-through full-service liquor store and bar. They feature craft beer, wine, and all your favorites. The Twisted Cork has live music Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday nights and hosts the Red Barn Radio open mic every Sunday evening. Located at Partner Place, just off Clay's Mill Road. For more information, they're on the web at twistedcorklex.com. Room 17 Productions, a nonprofit organization telling the story of Professor Emeritus Sarah Holroyd and promoting music education through oral history, preservation, and live performance. For more information, Room 17 Productions is on the web at room17productions.com. The rest is history. The Griffin Gate Marriott Resort and Spa is Red Barn Radio's guest accommodation partner, providing hotel accommodations for our musical guests. Located in the heart of bluegrass, horse, and bourbon country, the Griffin Gate Marriott Resort and Spa is the ideal choice for your next visit to Lexington, Kentucky. AccuPrint provides printed programs each week for our audience members. For all your printing needs, AccuPrint is on the web at AccuPrint.us.
Good evening and welcome to Red Barn Radio. I'm Matt Wickstrom, and along with Brad Becker, we welcome you to Red Barn Radio's 595th live concert performance, now in our 16th broadcast season. Tonight we are pleased to present a program of great live music with Jim Gleason and Scott Whidden. Jim is a Kentucky-based recording artist whose interests range from rock and blues to jazz, swing, country, and bluegrass. Scott is a singer-songwriter and has also played guitar for the Lexington Musical Collaborative, The Wags, Sinners, and Lexington Conservatory Theater Summerfest. Like many artists who perform on the Red Barn stage, Jim and Scott also have day jobs. Dr. Gleason is an associate professor of public relations at Eastern Kentucky University, and Dr. Whidden serves as writing center director and associate professor of writing, rhetoric, and communication at Transylvania University. Please welcome the two doctors, Jim Gleason and Scott Whidden, to the Red Barn stage. Here's Red Barn Radio's Brad Becker speaking with Jim Gleason and Scott Whidden.
All right. Hey, thanks. Scott and Jim, nice night.
Yeah.
Scott, you do writing teaching. You do at Transylvania University now here in Lexington. And where else have you been?
Before that, I was a graduate student at Louisiana State University. Mm-hmm. I taught at Delgado Community College in the great city of New Orleans for a little bit. I also, in Lake Charles, Louisiana, which is in the heel of the boot, near Cajun country, at McNeese State. So I've, taught a little bit.
You have some roots in South Carolina?
Yeah, I grew up in South Carolina at the base of the Blue Ridge in Greenville County. Uh-huh. So my mom's from the lower part of the state. My dad is from that sort of area you might call like Florida, Floribama, like right along the line. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I'm basically on the SEC tour is what I'm doing.
So. Oh, good, good. Tell me about how music came into the picture for you.
I don't think I had a choice in the matter. Like my dad was a guitar player. He believed in trad bluegrass and early country music and roots music. My mother played classical piano, did a lot of church music. I have a photograph of me in my dad's lap, and he's got my hands like this. I'm a little kid.
Nice.
I'm like three. And so it's always been around, and it's always a thing. There are very, very few things in my life that have been ever constant, and music is, that's one of them.
Huh. Did you spend a lot of time in the church growing up?
Yeah. So.
You did. What kind of church?
Episcopalian. So,
oh,
know,
okay.
Agnostic, just enough not to piss off God. So
that's
you're
right.
Okay.
That's
so,
right.
Kids have been the Catskills making out in abandoned hotels. From the cabins to the ballrooms to the empty pools and rusted carousels. Thank you. slipping off from the chaperones who came along for summer break. And you say you're right from college, that's only done on holidays. He's got some kind of accent, he's not like the other boys upstate. You're reading Edith Wharton and you wish that he was Henry James. And as long as you can make it back to evening vespers, you'll be safe. And you say you'll send postcards, only done on holidays. You'll steal some whiskey for your purse, perhaps some gin and lemonade. And you'll Charleston like a Gibson girl, you'll wish it was the Gilded Age. And the way his hands fit on your hips and brush your hair, moth your face. There's a flickering inside your chest. Forget this is a holiday. Think such things are trite and common and predictable. And you told the girls all junior year, yeah, he was cute and it was casual. And you'll take other lovers with their smiles and cards and family names. They're fractured, forgettable, nothing like a holiday. And there's kids up in the Catskills making out in abandoned hotels. Thanks.
As far as the writing instruction that you've done, and you know, with college students, what's your angle? Or I mean, you know, when
it
you
it kind of depends. And Jim teaches writing too, and he's a, you know, communications guy and a marketing guy and a jack of all trades. Jim does all kinds of great teaching. For me, I think it's a couple of things. One, what are you exactly trying to write? Are you doing something that's very literary or literary analysis, or are you doing something that's like a proposal that makes a grant that allows something like this to go on for how many amazing years you guys have done this? I mean, writing that makes things happen, I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
I get to teach a course in writing for nonprofits every once and again. It's one of my favorite courses. But I also write songs. I don't remember not writing songs. I think no matter what it is, for me, it's about trying to write every day, set aside that time, do that thing, and think of it more like a bodily practice as opposed to like an inspiration kind of thing.
Yeah,
be there
that's
when
right.
the lightning hits and hope. Listen, read a lot. Yeah, be around amazing
right.
people where you can get great feedback on songs like Jim or people that I'm in other bands with. Lexington's really, really good about having a collaborative community of artists. And if people are honest and they work together and they listen, you can build a lot of creative things.
Hmm. Lexington is a great place to be that way.
Without and, question.
Yeah, right. And it just happens week after week. We have artists who come in who are from this region, from town here, and there is just so much going on all the time.
And such a variety of music, too. I mean, if you look at the projects that Jim does, they're all over the map, but all of them have... Yeah. I don't know. I think it's short attention spans. I think you want to do a bunch of different
voices.
Right.
Every guy does something he never should have done, and offers lame excuses. I was only having fun, lacking all good sense that God gave to a trout. I brushed off all the warning signs as I was heading out. I should have seen it coming, approaching from behind, giving me the caution flag, but I paid it no mind. I shot myself right in the foot, that's when my world exploded. I should have seen it coming, but that's when I reloaded. It's obvious to me I should be thinking of a way to eradicate the mess I made in hope she'll let me stay. It's pretty plain to see my brain was going in reverse. I said, this looks like trouble. That's when it all got worse. My loser friends all told me that everything was fine. That should have been a warning flare, but I paid it no mind. I shot myself right in the foot, my relationship imploded. I could have said I'm sorry, but that's when I reloaded. This wasn't what I planned. I tried to take the warning track, but things got out of hand. Maybe it's the smoke from all the bridges that I burned, obscuring all the roads where I should probably have turned. Don't know what I was thinking, a moment of the time. I could have been repairing things, but I thought I was fine. I shot myself right in the foot, that's when my world imploded. I could have said I'm sorry, but that's when I reloaded. I shot myself right in the foot, that's when my world imploded. I could have said I'm sorry, but that's when I reloaded.
Thank you. Jim, talk about you. You're at EKU.
EKU. You know, a big piece of that is writing.
Yeah.
Because it's basically, who are you talking to, what do you want to tell them, and what's the best way to tell them? So it's really audience-driven and really message-driven. So writing's fundamental to that. You know, it may not translate ultimately into something that's the printed word, but message creation is a big, big piece of that. So, you know, we're always looking at what's the best way to shape that message. It might be something as abstract as a meeting or a press conference, or it might be something as concrete as a poster, a brochure, a television special. It could be almost anything. Certainly now with the internet, that's exploded.
Yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of new channels to get those messages out.
I had to laugh at the title of your new album, The Nervous World. These days we're walking around kind of in a daze, kind of going, it's a strange world we're living in, and it's a weird world. And
it would not be an exaggeration to say that we're in the middle of a revolution. I've been teaching public relations now for about 13 years, 14 years, something like that. And my practice, you know, what I'm teaching in those classes is substantially different than it was when I started. I started it and it was pre-Facebook, it was pre-Twitter, it was it was pre-Spotify, just saying. The opportunity for everybody to get their messages out and also for everybody to have a bully pulpit, that's really a big change in the profession. And I think where in the past what we would have done and what I taught a lot of the students to be doing was how do we craft messages and how do we find information to help our clients. Mm. There's no problem finding information today. Everybody's got all the information you're ever going to need. So now really the challenge is how do you sort all that, you know, fire hose of stuff that's coming at you and decide which ones are real and which ones are not, which ones are valuable and which ones are not, which ones are relevant and which ones are not.
I don't mean to cut in, but Jim also inspires real joy in his students. Like no matter what they're working on, you can see that Jim helps them find what's really cool about this. And then that means it's not just some assignment. It's instead I'm writing to do this thing that I actually care about.
Well, one of my students is an intern with Red Barn, so there's that, you know, so it's an applied science. I mean, public relations is applied communication science. So it's about all the communication theories that go on, but then how do you deliver? You know, it's ultimately feet on the ground kind of stuff. It's a fascinating practice.
Fully loaded and half spent, dollar down and one red cent. It's hell to pay, it's heaven sent. Man, it's a nervous world. Feeling like my hair's on fire, take a walk on a thin high wire. All that fun, it's my heart's desire. Man, it's a nervous world. I'm not sure what to do, looking lost and feeling blue. Heaven's broke, I got no stamps. A little kid just called me Gramps, and that's enough to make me whine. Shopping down at the five and dime, counting pennies, losing time. Man, it's a nervous world. Wish I could just take a snooze. Attention span is badly bruised. It happens when I watch the news. Man, it's a nervous world. Remember when we threw off sparks, running naked through the parks. Half our friends were probably narcs. Man, it's a nervous world. I don't think clear too much. I feel like I've been losing touch. All my hats now come from lamps, and there's that kid who called me Gramps. I think it's time to turn in early. Things are feeling awfully squirrely. Everything's just hurly-burly. Man, it's a nervous world. I feel like I've been losing touch. All my hats now come from lamps, and there's that punk who called me Gramps. I think it's time to turn in early. Like he said, don't call me Shirley. Everything's just hurly-burly. Man, it's a nervous world. Everything's just hurly-burly. Man, it's a nervous world. Man, it's a nervous world.
Thank you.
Welcome. What do you learn from your students?
People's attention spans are shortening. People are much more fascinated by the little screen in front of them than they were in the past. They're really distracted. I mean, they're not just students. I mean, I think that's probably true of everybody. But I think the internet's changed an enormous amount of things. But I think smartphones have maybe changed things more.
Yeah, right.
Because
I think so
there's no such thing as a bar fight anymore. You know, bar argument. It's like, you know, I'll bet you it was this. No, it wasn't this. And, you know, I'll just ask Siri. You know, and there you are. So, I mean, literally the humanity's entire knowledge base is at your fingertips. And that's really a tremendous change. And it's obviously endlessly fascinating. And it's totally magnetic and addictive. And there is a point where you got to stop and say, it's like, no, maybe I'm going to like back out of that. And that's part of what a lot of the discussion about Facebook is now. It's like, can you unplug? What's the implications of unplugging now? Have we changed to where you can't not be on Facebook, let's say? You know, these are interesting times. They really are. And we're nowhere near having sorted that stuff. I mean, the internet as we know it is 20 years old. You know, 25 years, less than 25 years
wild
old.
Wild West.
Yeah, we're totally still in the Wild West.
I saw Lee Von Helm at the double door with some higher guns that couldn't sing anymore. We were 21 and we looked pretty young. And you left your ID at home. I looked at you and you looked at him.
wouldn't let you in. Ask the doorman to call you a cab. No idea you'd get so mad. Too. And he never knew what to think about you. Hate his black Trans Am and his dealer plates. And coal miner's daughter on a Betamax tape. With a rasping laugh and steady hands, driving Dixie down to the promised land. I didn't see the cab take you away. It makes no difference if your tears are of rage. Guess what you said was true. I cared for that man more than I cared about you. And I'm grateful I could finally leave. For leave on Hellman, Tennessee. Leave on Helm in Tennessee. Thanks, y'all.
More Red Barn Radio with Jim Gleason and Scott Whitten. Recorded live from the Performance Hall and Arts Place in Lexington, Kentucky. We're back with more of Jim Gleason and Scott Whitten after this break. This is Red Barn Radio.